good to have you back. And of course, always good to have you guys check us out on The Valley Outdoors. And where else, Ava?
Facebook.
Wow, that, you were prepared.
Well, I knew it was coming to me.
And it's just The Valley Outdoors Facebook. And, pretty easy to find.
It is pretty easy to find. Just pull it up.
Hey, did you post my earring?
No, I did not.
You should do that.
I have to do that. She has a spinner bait on her ears.
Oh, yeah. I've seen those.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. So and he took a picture of them.
Yeah.
And I even had somebody at my church say that it was a great show, and we were talking about my earring. So
we don't make a great show. We make fantastic shows.
You need to post
shows.
My earrings.
I will.
So
I'll post your earrings.
It.
I will.
Are they like Daredevil type with the red and white stripe?
No. They're multiple willow leaf.
Okay.
They're high speed.
Oh, okay. They spin a lot?
No, because the swivel is soldered so it doesn't spin.
Gotcha.
So let's jump back into it, Don.
What's
We had you talking off air and rambling, and then Ava said, no, this goes on air. But apparently you weren't really too anxious to talk about it. But you know,
well,
what?
You were young. I was young.
So
and this is your first deer, too,
this is
right?
My very first time I was deer hunting. Keep in mind.
I'm shooting
with Grandpa's double barrel side-by-side Ithaca 7-11. I still have the firearm. And it's not known for being accurate. So anyway, I shoot at this deer. He takes out of this grove running, and it's a big buck. And I shot him in the buttocks.
Nicely done.
Yeah, so I did take out a fairly good chunk of meat. And then we chased him for 4 miles. And we finally found him in a, you know, so, you know, the issue here is the adrenaline. It's better if you can drop them where they're at. So I picked up that habit.
Absolutely. Yeah, no question.
And then, you know, and then we ended up having to shoot him again. And we finally,
we finally
ended it for him.
Gotcha. Is that why it took you a while to pick it back up again? Because it wasn't a great experience?
Well, you know, like everybody else, you know, I've got friends that are looking for places to hunt. You know, and it's not that easy to find places to hunt. You have to know somebody or be willing to go out to state land, which, you know, there's a lot of people on. So,
and then usually you need help too.
Right.
I've noticed that. So like a few times I wanted to go hunting, but I had nobody to help me. Like if I get one.
Yeah. No,
I need help from somebody.
Yeah. Well, Ava, give us your story.
Oh, okay. So my first deer, I'm sitting with my dad. And it's a doe, and she comes stepping out, and she's, 30 yards? No, she had to be farther than that. 50
yards?
Didn't
have to be.
No, she was far. She was at the end of the shooting lane, okay?
Okay.
And my dad's like, if you want to shoot her, go for it. You know, like, you have a tag or whatever. So what I must have been doing, because it took 3 shots for me to... Poor thing. Thankfully, she didn't scream, because I think if she would have screamed, I would have been done.
You've been done hunting.
Okay, so I think what I was doing is that I was shutting my eyes when I was pulling the trigger. You know, like you keep your eyes open and then, you know, you jerk and you're
flinching.
Flinching, okay.
Yeah, you got to learn to squeeze.
Well, that poor thing got shot in the leg, in the belly. And then finally got her right in the neck and she fell. Like, she didn't run because I shot her in the frickin' leg.
Sounds like you're trying to save the hide.
Oh, my gosh. It was so
sad. It's called the roundabout
sad.
Method.
Yes.
Okay. And, and of course, I see her eyes on that third shot, you know, because I was like, I need to. And I almost didn't do it again. She would have screamed.
Did she look like Bambi?
She would see, and I don't like thinking about it because it's sad.
You're not helping things.
No.
Come on.
But, you know, so we all have stories where you're like, man, that wasn't the best.
So mine isn't, because not all deer hunts are about the actual kill, right? So I've got 2 stories. One is, actually it's 3, but short ones. First one, I go out there in a stand, it's cold. So you walk out to your stand. And my dad prepped me. I think I was 14. We walk out to the stand, nice and easy. You work up a sweat. It's about probably a mile in. We get to the stand. Been there before. I climb up in the stand, and it was cold. And I'm in the stand, and I'm shaking. And I'm cold, like really cold. My dad wandered up to me, and I didn't even say anything to him. Finally, he comes up and grabs my leg, scares the crap out of me.
You didn't see him coming?
No.
Oh.
Apparently, in what we talked about, he said, apparently I was on that very edge of that hypothermia situation.
Oh.
Apparently, I when he walked in, I got cold. I left my clothes in my bag, and I forgot because I had shot a deer, and I just sat there. And all of a sudden, it's like I became not really aware of what was going on.
Oh, yeah.
And so that was a bad deal. Second was, I'm posting in a deer stand that's way up in a popple tree. I don't know how high, but it was up there. And it was in a kind of a swampy area, and it was a windy day, probably 30 miles an hour wind. And the guys are driving a swamp to me. These, like, eight guys. And they came up to me. We were talking distance. And all of a sudden, you hear this tree snap. And I look, and it's coming at me. And I can't judge, but it's lined right up on my tree. I have leaned over to the side, grabbed a hold of the tree that there's three trees that ring this stand. I grab onto the tree and hang on. The tree falls and hits 3 feet up on the bottom of the tree that I'm standing in. That's how close it was to hitting the tree.
Wow.
Last story. Dad's out probably one of the first years you're hunting. He's probably 40 yards away. So he's in close proximity, but sure, enough where it's distance. Mm-hmm. Standing in the stand. The stand he's in breaks. He falls 10 feet. He's got a Browning BAR where the, you know, the action's centered.
Yep.
Wood on both sides. There's a plywood board 4x4 that's up on its end, on its side, the 4 foot side up. He's going to straddle it. Puts the shot of the rifle out, breaks the stock off of it. It pushes him off to the side and he lands on the ground.
He never had a harness on?
No. That was way before harnesses.
We never had harnesses. This is before safety.
Way before.
Oh, way before.
We're talking way, way back, right?
Okay.
So what happens? He's like, when I heard it break, I heard that thing snap like a gunshot. I thought he shot, right?
Yep.
Nope. We unbolted, put the thing back together because you got the action bolt that goes into the stock.
Right.
Put it back together. We went out and shot it. Can you believe that thing was spot on?
Really?
After absolutely taking the brunt. And it saved him, period. I don't think he would have survived. I saw where he fell, and I just saw it, and it scared the crap out of me. So
yeah, wow.
Safety, you guys, always. That's the one thing that just scares me. Mm-hmm. When it stands, yep, you think are ready to go, you went up from last year, or, hey, let's check this other one out that was good last year. And if it's made out of birch or something similar, it's not safe. You can't see underneath the bark, and that's one of the things that comes into play, whether it's a nail that's rusted or somebody sabotaged it. That happens too, which is scary.
Right.
Tell you what, stay tuned. We're going to be right back talking a little bit more deer when we return.
Does your family need a break from the daily routine?
Hello, I'm Dr. Spruce. If you or someone you know needs a healthy dose of nature, visit discovertheforest.org and trade in the big screen for the big blue sky by visiting a local park or forest near you.
Hiking, picnicking, swimming, orienteering, climbing, admiring wildlife, or inhaling fresh air may result in heightened creativity, feelings of joy, harmony, satisfaction, and a euphoria that can only be explained as oneness with the natural world. Whoa.
It's always fun telling stories, Don.
Yeah, well,
maybe it'll make people feel better if they have a story like that, too.
Yeah, don't be afraid to send it to us. It's always good. If we read the story online, we'll come up with something for you.
Well, hopefully after this weekend, we'll have more next week.
Yeah, some good stories.
Yeah.
I'll be fishing.
I'm going to have to squeeze in hunting. I'm planning on sitting Saturday morning. I shoot a wedding Saturday until late. Then I can hunt Sunday morning and hopefully Sunday night. And then I should be able to sit Monday morning And then we get into the work week, and I have no idea.
I am going to be heading next week to Seattle. Doing a little.
I'm so happy for you.
Boat driving. Just got back from New York. Spent time on Long Island Sound, and it was brisk and cold. And of course, the gentleman I was doing a sea trial with sends me 6 photos of stripers.
Yeah,
44 inches, 43 inches.
You're gonna be off shushing here pretty soon too, aren't you?
Yeah, it looks like ski areas are open up pretty quick. We just got done with our first ski school meeting, and
when do you go out there for your little school thing?
It starts the last week, right after Thanksgiving, if everything.
Oh,
works.
In November.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we got a reprieve here.
No, I'll be going out before that. Trust me. But there's whole areas. Arapahoe Basin just opened up.
Yeah, you can't go out there to work on your legs.
East is open up. So, I'm doing that right now.
They're looking like rubber.
No, we'll be good. We'll be good. We'll be good. Well, we talk about deer. Look, why not just tell you why if you're out hunting right now, why you made the right choice. Because opening deer, according to many sources that I've looked up, it's the best way to go. Absolutely.
Well, that's because they're all there yet.
Well, but also it's not because only because of that. And I've got the reason for that.
I hope there's one.
Good story. And it's got valid points to it, which is really important. As the story goes, this is when I started traveling out of state to hunt the primetime game for deer. You realize a few things. The first was that the rut was often more of a snooze fest than it was supposed to be. The second one, that everybody believes the rut is the best time to be in the woods, so you'll have more company than other times of the season. And lastly, quickly it became clear that the rut action is wildly unpredictable, which is very true. While you love sitting in a tree in November, I truly believe that there isn't a better, more consistent opportunity to kill a buck than opening week. And this is due to several things. Number one, hunting pressure is everything. This gentleman has interviewed dozens of public land hunting experts, and every one of them is obsessed with figuring out how to hunt around pressure. It's often priority number one, even before the start, to figure out what deer like to do on any given property. Although, to be fair, if you're actively looking for areas with little or no hunting pressure, you're also, by default, looking where deer will be. Makes sense, right?
Right.
Opening week offers a special case in this realm. Not experiencing hunting pressure for 8 or 9 months tends to lull the herd into a false sense of security. This is damn near universal across regions and states, and it's a huge advantage. A buck that just isn't super neurotic about his survival is a buck that can be killed. Good luck finding deer in November that isn't keyed into pressure unless you're hunting a tightly controlled property. Important. And, of course, it's not easy live in a mindset to get bucks in trouble during the first week, but to do so, you need to know what their lifestyle choices are going to be. Patterns, they matter. While the rut offers a chance to catch a cruiser in a pinch point or a funnel, a single hot doe can ruin the best laid terrain trap plans. That's a fact. That happened to me 3 times. Same goes for one of your fellow hunters setting up with a bad wind just down the ridge from you. That is bad. Rut movement on a large scale is predictable. By and large, the bucks are going to cruise and chase, and that's good individual movement, though specific spots during a variety of conditions is less predictable. And early season bucks are a different story. While a pattern can blow up within a day or two of the opener, depending on hunting pressure, a whole host of other things that can go on, there's no time when bucks are more predictable. If you do your homework in the preseason, set yourself up with ambush options, you have a good chance of getting a buck on a still summer pattern, which is pretty cool. It's a real opportunity in states with September openers that can easily be a possibility for states with early October starting dates as well, because the archery does put some pressure on those areas. Deer weather realities. The last real advantage opening week to offer is the weather. A lot of hunters won't go if it's too hot, too windy, or if it's going to rain. They have the whole season to hunt, and if it's not perfect for them, forget it. I'm just going to skip it and sit it out. I don't feel like deer hunting in these conditions. The same holds true with hunters that might sandbag a day during the rut, even though unseasonal weather can have greater impact on their success. My favorite opening weeks involve warm temperatures or rainy weather. I know much of my competition will sit it out. I know the bucks will still move because they don't spend their time thinking that it just doesn't feel like deer weather.
Right.
They're used to it. They will react accordingly. So in conclusion, the rut makes a lot of big promises but doesn't often deliver. The early season, while it doesn't come with the opportunity to see six bucks chasing in the same morning, does offer real advantages. It might not feel the same sitting in a tree on November 5th, but it might offer you a better chance to kill a mature buck, and that's not nothing.
No. I mean, that's so true. I mean, it's deer are creatures of habit until they get disrupted. You know, when they start getting shot at, they tend to get a little nervous if they're fortunate enough to keep on moving. So it's a matter of hoping to be in the right place at the right time.
Yeah, and I think the other part that holds true as well to follow up on, Don, is that you can't catch a fish if you don't have your line in the water.
Right.
You can't get a deer if you're not going to sit in your stand, number one. You can't get a deer either if you're not going to take the time to understand what the deer are doing. You may benefit from friends that say, look, here, this is where the deer are moving. This is the stand to be on. Perfect. This is it. Okay, that qualifies as the same thing. Somebody was educated enough or took the time enough to go set you up. Thank those people if you don't have time to get out in the woods, because those are gems of people, and they are absolutely your best friends, because to set that up and you don't have to be out there to do that.
You know, the one thing I've learned in the last 2-3 years that I've been deer hunting is I did invest in some trail cams. And those, I mean, trail cams will tell you a story. And you're talking about the weather here a second ago. That's one thing I've noticed on the, you know, a lot of movement at night at this point. Once the season opens, they'll be moving because they're going to be pushed. But I noticed that there were more deer activity on the rainy, foggy nights than the clear nights.
They're probably feeling a little more comfortable.
A little more undercover.
Yep,
exactly. Well, speaking of undercover, I hope you guys are out from under the covers. You're sitting in your deer stand, and you are having an absolute fantastic day. Really enjoy. Be safe. Have fun.
Good luck.
And yeah, for sure. Good luck. And we'll be chatting with you next week for the Valley Outdoors. Ava, myself, Eric, and Don, we are out of here.